If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell now for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And did you take your own advice from yesterday? Did you go and keep it real at the barber yesterday?
Oh, yeah. I said, let's go. I told Elise, I said, this is one of the last times you're going to see me now.
That's it.
So let's just trim up our eyebrows a little bit. Get the you know, take it down. Let's cut it down.
You're keeping it real right now.
I had the Joe Moore Award shows yesterday. I said I gotta get my Cole Kubelik on.
You went Josh Pate on everybody.
I gotta do more arm work, but yeah.
Yeah, no.
Josh Pate's finally gonna join us.
He missed last week.
We had Thanksgiving, so yeah. We didn't have him then. He missed last week. He wasn't on last week because he had something he had to do with ESPN, quote-unquote.
We're not ESPN?
And I texted him yesterday. I said, hey, making sure you're on tomorrow. There's a lot. And this is when the Sharon Moore store stuff is going on, and we'll get to that in a second. This is one of the craziest things we've seen on a single day in a long time. And
since Bobby Petrino.
Yeah. Well, that's a long time. Yeah. The Petrino stuff was like 13, 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And this is more, though. The coach ends up in jail. Yeah. This is more than Petrino.
He didn't end up with a neck brace.
You don't know. Well, I don't want to say too much, but it's bad.
Yeah,
this Sharon stuff is really bad. Anyway, I said, hey, there's a lot going on. I want to make sure we have you tomorrow because we hadn't had you for a couple weeks, and we got all the playoffs. We got Sharon. He goes, woo, buddy. Yes, I'll be there.
Okay.
And
what time's 8:30?
No, he's 9:00.
9:00.
9:00 today. So we'll visit with him. I guess that's the lead. Michigan fired. This is a true story. I can show it to you. Yesterday, I'll give you the exact time just to really. I want to be specific on this time that I sent this. Yesterday, I go. I'm watching Derek Moore. Jayshon, whatever, number one off of Michigan. Ernest, God, I can't even remember their names. The linebacker, number 15, Houseman. And Rayshon Benny from Michigan. I got 4 Michigan players that I'm going to watch all at the same time. I'm like, I'm going to do this all at the same time. It'll take me 3 hours, 4 hours if I do them all at the same time. I said, you know who I need to talk to, who I talked to last year about his players? Let me send something to Sharon Moore right now, the head coach. I got his number from when he was the offensive line coach at Michigan when they won the Joe Moore Awards. And I've asked him questions about some of his players in the past, and he's been nice enough to get on the phone and help. So yesterday at 4:50 p.m., at 2:31 p.m., I say, hey, coach, do you have any time for a phone call to talk about these guys on your defensive front? I'm going to be watching them and writing them up over the next couple of days and just wanted to get some context. But 30 minutes later, Sharon Moore fired from Michigan. I'm like, oh, man.
Well, but did he call?
Well, so Sharon Moore fired from Michigan. And I'm like, oh, man, I feel so bad that he got fired.
I said, so bad that he didn't even call you back.
Well, he left me on, you know, he just left me on red. I said, oh, crap, I just saw the news, coach. I'm really sorry. Now, the news for me was that Sharon Moore had been fired from Michigan. Now, he had a 9-win season. They actually played, they struggled a little early, and then actually played well despite his multi-million dollar quarterback really being a huge disappointment this year. Underwood was a huge disappointment. Mm-hmm. And so me and the boys from the Joe Moore Award were pretty shocked. We were texting. I mean, this is an offensive line guy. They all know him. Former offensive line Manning coach, and he's head coach at Michigan. And he was, you know, kind of the right-hand man for Harbaugh. He took over for Harbaugh. We're like, man, something doesn't smell right. I said, yeah, this guy, Ernest Hausman, the linebacker, hasn't played the last two games. And Sharon Moore said it's a personal issue. I wonder if there's something behind the scenes with him going on that would involve, you know, Moore for any reason. Because he said something about he brought something. I don't know. I don't want to get too far into that one. But and then we all said, you know, 9 wins. In only 2 years, and so one of the guys said, feels like Michigan's just trying to get out of his contract if you're firing him after 2 years.
He didn't have nine wins in two years.
No. He had 9 years wins this year,
yeah, right.
And he only coached for 2 years.
Right.
That's simply – one of them was a win against Ohio State. Yeah, it just didn't smell right.
Yeah, but he started, he had three losses in his first year, which is the same as the last 3 years.
It's combined. Not going to get you fired, though. Three losses and then two.
No, losses in his first five games or something. Yeah.
Yeah, but that wasn't this year.
No, right.
And they actually played better than expected with it. And I started thinking, I wonder if the quarterback flexed his muscles and said, I'm going to transfer if Sharon Moore isn't out of here. And I'm like, you know, we're like wondering, why would he be fired after 2 years? This isn't something to get fired over after 2 years at Michigan. And then the news came out from Pete Thamel, Nicole Auerbach, and others that Sharon Moore, the head coach at Michigan, was fired for cause.
An inappropriate
relationship with a staffer. Yeah. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. And apparently there was a video of him standing on the sidelines, and that was allegedly the girl. There's him.
Wait, just stand. Well, she's a like a recruiting staffer. Yeah. Well, listen, I know her dad.
Oh, yeah?
Her dad is an NFL scout. Long-time NFL scout.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and one of my sources is on a team where this guy scouts. I said, did you see what happened with Moore? He goes, holy crap. I'm like, do you have any intel on this? And the guy said, no. He said, I don't know what this is about. I said, none of your scouts had heard any whispers? He goes, no, I'm learning about this in real time just like you. It turns out he's on the same team as the dad whose daughter is at she's in an administrative recruiting position at Michigan, yeah. And Sharon Moore. But it gets wilder. It's apparently in the story, and this has been reported that she got pregnant and he, you know, requested, and she had an abortion that he paid for. He's married, by the way. So all of this is just like bad, bad, bad look. Michigan, most coaches wouldn't survive it. There was discussion about, well, if he was winning more, they might turn a blind eye. That one's going to be too tough to survive. That's too tough to survive that. But it got even worse. It somehow kept getting worse. Then there was a story like it. When we were about to go on for our Joe Moore Award show, it was like 6-something. Sharon Moore had been arrested, was being detained and arrested. There's a mugshot of him now, once again, the now former coach at Michigan. And I guess in Michigan, the word is there was a domestic dispute between he and his wife after all of this happened. And he was detained. He was kind of, I don't want to say on the run, but he was somewhere, not in Ann Arbor, and police arrested him. So that's the unless something has happened now, and there was other things that were being mentioned on Michigan websites that he, you know, may have made may have made comments, you know, threatening himself and things like that. So I don't know. This is a coach and another, you know, and a man, a human, going through what feels like the end of everything for him. Everything he had, millions, a job, everything, poof, gone. And now Michigan is obviously without a coach. Well, they hired Biff Pogge, I think his name is, or something like that. The assistant is the interim head coach. But Sharon Moore became, not a side note, like the main character of the day. And there's a quote that says, your goal should always be never becoming the, and every day there's a main character on Twitter. Your goal is to never become that guy. That I read that yesterday for the first time, and I was like, wow, is this the truest statement there could possibly be? Raheel Ustalwa and still says, never go viral. I wasn't happy about the Philip Rivers on a mobile going viral. I wasn't happy about that one single bit, because you start feeling heat like, what if my bosses at the league say, you know, hey, this is a bad look. We're making Philip Rivers look bad. Philip Rivers called, hey, man, you know, I've got a family. They're threatening my family now. I just thought anything could be happening with these psychopaths on Twitter.
Threatening his family now?
I know, but in my mind, you know, these psychopaths from Cincinnati, these Joe Burrow stands, oh, my God. They were losing their minds. They were so mad at Philip Rivers for for him saying Joe Burrow. They thought he was a racist for saying Joe Burrow should be a receiver.
Well, they might be mad at Joe now.
Braxton Berrios.
He's looking like more and more like he's Andrew Luck. He had a press conference yesterday. It was like, wow, Joe, ease up. Are there things that bad? We will play some of that.
Well, Travis, what are you referring? Because I've got some other stuff I sent Bill from his press conference.
What? You didn't see him saying how he's got personal issues and he's not having any fun. If he can't have any fun, he might not be doing this anymore.
Oh, here we go. When that money gets high, you don't have to care as much anymore.
No,
you mean to tell me your boy Andrew Burrow? Because I know this. I ain't never stopped playing football, man. I'm the guy that continues to play when I'm 44, and this guy's trying to get out of the game. What a sad, sorry excuse for a quarterback.
Hey, you better watch. You better watch what you say here.
44. I got a video sent to me yesterday of Philip Rivers ripping one into a window intermediate. And I'm like, well, this doesn't look like a 44-year-old. It was not a bad throw at all. They say Philip can still throw it a little bit. And we'll see. He got signed to the practice squad, right? That initially he's practice squad. That's what he was signed to a practice squad, but he can be elevated. So I don't know if the plan is to elevate him and start him or what the plan is.
Right, well, now. I think they maybe sign him to the practice squad because so he doesn't lose his he's next year he can be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's getting reset.
You know that, I mean,
Colts are going to try to win, and Philip wants to play.
Yeah,
and that's going to end up getting reset. So I think it's just a placeholder until they decide who to move off the roster.
I don't know if you're signed to a practice squad if that loses your spot. I don't know, but he was taken. Now it wasn't first team reps, but he was thrown first. Now that was probably in deference to his, you know, his age and his status in the league.
I think Shane Steichen would go with Rivers over Riley Leonard or
you do?
Brett Rippon. I got a feeling you're going to see. Well, he can't wear 17 because that's Daniel Jones. I think he's wearing 10. So I got a feeling you're going to see 10.
They gave him A.D. Mitchell's number.
I know. It's
they blasphemy. Traded away A.D. Mitchell and then gave that number away.
It's blasphemy in Indianapolis.
Well, they're not retiring now.
No, not now. Apparently. I thought they were for that game he cost them in the Rams with the Rams early in the year, but and every game that they lost looks huge now. But no, I think you're going to see Rivers way sooner than later, because here's a little note that J.J. Watt put out there from a production meeting. Philip Rivers ran Shane Steichen's offense in the high school that he was coaching this year. He already knows the offense. They ran the same offense, and he talked to Shane Steichen on a weekly basis this year about the offense to help him with his coaching there in Alabama. So he and Shane have talked throughout the year about the offense. So he already knows the offense.
Yeah, that's great. That is funny.
You ready for Philip Rivers in Houston in a win and in situation?
Oh my gosh.
If they're still alive.
Maybe.
If the Colts are even still alive. Because they got Seattle, San Francisco, like, They don't have the Raiders and Cardinals coming up.
Well, Jacoby Brissett owns the Texans, so don't be so sure.
The things that are going to happen to Jacoby Brissett are going to be
what things
are literally where our defensive ends are going to be on the line.
I don't know. I saw that as a poll do handle the defensive.
Yeah,
ends.
Listen, that wasn't the best feeling I've ever had seeing a guy taking his first NFL snaps, stonewalled Danielle Hunter.
Yeah,
that was.
Yeah.
Shocking, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, Danielle Hunter couldn't get by Pole. How's he going to get past anybody on the Cardinal? Are you kidding me? Oh, and I saw the Saints beat the Bucks last week, so I ain't.
Tyler Shuck.
I mean,
he's getting standing ovations at Pelicans games. He's getting standing ovations at Pelican games.
Well, he should.
Like, everyone was ready to. Saints fans were so mad when he was drafted because he got drafted ahead of Shador. Saints fans lost their mind, and now they're giving him standing ovations.
You know what? I was hoping. Did he do the Chug thing with the Coors Light?
No, he didn't.
When they showed him?
No, he's not.
You know what? I got no respect for
that. That's Taylor Lewan, and who else does that? Oh, yeah. Taylor Lewan, and there's somebody and their daughter.
A bunch of people do that
There's somebody and their daughter.
That's all they do.
Do that,
and
yeah.
Listen, if you're going to chug a beer at a game, it's got to be a Coors Light. It's got to be cold, clean. It's got to be crisp. It's got to be refreshing. If you're chugging one of them other beers at a game, you're embarrassing yourself, okay? You're embarrassing everyone around you. Don't chug another beer at a game. Chug a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. I need you to, this holiday season, pick up a case. You never know who's coming by. Couple cases. Have one in the fridge already and have one waiting just in case, because you never know how big that party's going to be. It's the holidays, and it's time for you to climb on, brother. If you are you don't know if people are coming over. Make sure you're ready. With a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light for them. The world's most refreshing beer. Coors Light. Keep Texas chill this holiday season.
ESPN. 97.5.
John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A lot of stuff to get to this morning, but let's... there's a lot of stuff all over the league. Let's talk Texan. Did you see the video that the Texans put out about Cal McNair?
Yeah, guess what? I said, whose idea was this? I talked to somebody who was close, somebody who I'm friends with, knows, is very good friends with Hannah and Cal McNair. And Hannah said, I've been around about, you know, I met Hannah McNair during during camp, and she, the two of them, like, anyway, Hannah sent it. No. So our friend Lauren sent it, and I said, yeah, I saw this. I said, this is hilarious. I don't know who came up with this, but whoever came up with it, it was a great idea because it was really funny. So, and we'll tell, and she sent that to Hannah because Hannah said, show this to Lance. And so, and I've only talked to Hannah McNair one time. And so I got the message back. That was Cal's idea. That was Cal McNair's idea. He got left hanging.
So, tell people about the video. In Kansas City, there's a video of CJ going along the wall, and Cal is standing there, and he's got his right hand up to get a high five from CJ, and CJ left him hanging.
Mm-hmm.
So the video is Cal standing there.
And he looks into the camera after he got caught hanging. Yeah. It was actually, I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah, it was awful. Cal standing there, and he was left hanging, and there's a video of it. The video is Cal at the offices, back at the offices the next whenever, and he's standing there still with his hand in the air.
Well, he's walking through the office. He's doing all this stuff.
And some people wanted a high five, and they no, you can't. That's for CJ. And he goes to his desk, and he's typing with his left hand with his hand still up in the air.
Yeah.
He gets a cup of coffee with his left hand because his right hand is still in the air. And then finally, players are coming out, and one of them wanted a high five, and they said, no, you can't. That's for CJ. And CJ finally comes out of the locker room and high fives him. And I want to tell you, I we've had issues with Cal. That is so self-deprecating and so he has no, no ego. That he would do that is really, really cool.
Yeah,
really
he doesn't have – this is what I've learned over the over time is that he's actually got a pretty good sense of humor, and he doesn't have really any ego. He just – he wants to be liked by the fan base, and he just wants to – and he likes the players, and he doesn't really have a contentious, ornery bone in his body. He just – you know, he likes to have fun. Now, unfortunately, he can get walked over by snakes like Bill and like Easterby, but those guys are out of the building, and I think
Jack Easterby.
Oh God! And so, when I found out Cal did this, I'm like, that was. I figured it was a social media manager, but then you'd even have to bring it up to an owner. Like, you'd have to have a good enough relationship to even bring that up to an owner, because you know you just never know if the owner found that embarrassing. Like, I'm not gonna. What? This is dumb. No, that was embarrassing. I didn't get a. And Cal, and instead, it was Cal's idea to do something where he keeps looking for his high five from CJ. And apparently some of the players knew what was going on, but CJ didn't. So CJ's, when CJ walks out, Cal's got the same clothes on.
Yep.
The head, the beanie, everything.
The overcoat,
the beanie, and he's got his right hand up and he's sitting there, and CJ sees it and starts laughing and comes over and finally gives Cal a five.
Yeah. Yep, he nothing changed. He still had the hat on, the overcoat.
Everything.
It was so funny, so funny. So that's good stuff. And we've got some
football's more fun when you win. I've noticed.
Yeah, it is a lot more fun. Oh my gosh, how much more fun is it there than after 0-3?
Woo.
Let's talk D'Amico, and he talked about Jalen Petrie. Jalen is having himself. Jalen is a dog. I don't think there's any question about it. That hit that he put on Rashee Rice was a game changer, actually, and it may have led to late in the game Rashee Rice dropping that fourth down pass. And I'm sure it had some effect on Rashee Rice. The vicious hit that he took. He was turning around. He might have been looking, hearing footsteps, whatever the case may be. That hit was as good as it gets in football, and clean too. I mean, have you seen the Chiefs fans crying about the hit?
Yes, and Mitchell Schwartz started. It wasn't clean. They didn't go helmet to. There was not a targeting.
No.
It was not targeting.
No.
He hit through the shoulder, and if his face mask or anything hit Rashee Rice, it was not only was it not intentional, it was not severe enough at all to warrant a penalty. It was well called.
Yeah. I don't think the intention matters. I think it's just that he didn't hit him in the head.
Right.
That's all. He hit him in the shoulder and just gave him about as clean and good a shot as you could possibly get. Here's D'Amico. I mean, Petrie's missed a few games. So here he is on Petrie being that X factor defensively.
Jalen, I call him the X factor for our defense. Like, he can do it all. Right? When it comes to stopping the run, most of the time you worry about, a nickel or DB being in the run fits, but we try to find ways to get Jalen in the run fits because he's a physical player, because he's smart. He understands run fits. Then throw him in passing coverage situations. He's able to cover receivers, tight ends. He's just all-around player, right, that you can't coach him on some of the instincts and things that he's able to do and some of the plays that he's able to make.
That's good stuff. With two of the best it's one of the top three anyway, corner combinations in the NFL. I don't know how people rank them, but I don't think there's any question that Stingley and Lassiter are a top three corner combination. With Jalen Petrie and Kalen Bullock as the ball hawk, and this defensive backfield is as good as it gets in the NFL when healthy. Mm-hmm. Can Jalen Petrie stay healthy with his size, the guys that he's got to cover, and the run fits? Is he going to be able to? I think that's the main question for Jalen.
I think it's always going to be the question. I mean, he's got to keep that guarding cap on because he plays the game with an intensity and a ferocity that he's just not going to dial back. It was like that at Baylor. This is who he's, just how he's wired. It's who he is. And he plays like a linebacker, but he's, you know, he's a little undersized for how he plays, but I love watching him play, and he's a D'Amico guy. You know, there's a lot of D'Amico guys on there. It's him and Aziz and Jalen Petrie, and I mean, Jalen, Aziz, Kamari Lassiter, Will Anderson, they are all four of those guys are probably the four biggest D'Amico players on that defensive front, or in on that defense. Those four guys are exactly wired how he wants them all to be wired. Now, not everyone's going to have that same physicality, but he'd like it if you did. And as long as you're always in swarm mode, you'll be good. And you get enough of those guys, and you tighten up your X's and O's and your play calling defensively and your coverages, and all of a sudden you have the league's best defense by a pretty long shot.
Yep, and they do. And they do. I mean, talk about some talent. They put together some talent defensively now. This is fun. We got Astros talk on the other side. We got Chandler Rome was on MLB Network.
Rule 5 signings. Woo! We found our frontline signing. There was a Rule 5 kid I was looking
some
at.
News for yeah. you.
Rule 5ers.
A little bit more than Lance is
Rule 5ers. There's three Rule 5ers we signed.
Okay, that is awesome. But that's not what we're coming away with
okay.
when we come back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I mean, today is Thursday. If you get on over to Westheimer and Green Ridge to the Texas Card House, you've got the Holiday Shootout, $200 buy-in with $100,000 at stake. That is not people. That is unbelievable, the amount of money that you can win with just a $200 buy-in, $100,000. It is a five-day event. You don't have to play 5 days. You just have to play one and then come back on Sunday. And it is fantastic. You're not getting these kind of odds, these kind of guarantee for a $200 buy-in. It's ridiculous. It really is. So if you're a poker player, get on over there. You never know what's going to happen. Now over in spring, 2 o'clock, $25 buy-in. You got $1,500 at stake. And it's 6 o'clock. That's at 2 o'clock, and it's 6 o'clock. A $40 buy-in, and you got $4,000 at stake. These are ridiculously low buy-ins for the amount of money that they are guaranteeing. And it's usually, you know, a lot of times it ends up well, $1,500. No, it's gonna be the pot's gonna be $2,000, $2,500, $3,000 more. So it is fantastic what Texas Card House is doing, because they're the biggest and the best in the city of Houston, in the state of Texas now. And you're looking for clean, you're looking for secure, you're looking for 24 hours, and you've got 24 hours a day that you can play live poker, cash games, okay? You've got a bar that stays open until 2. You got beautiful parking lots where you feel safe leaving. Everything about it is first class and the best. TexasCardHouse.com, TexasCardHouse.com.
ESPN 97.5.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5. A reminder, Christmas party, the 22nd. Let's go. We're going to be there. It starts at 7 a.m. It's always a great time. It's the way to kick off the holidays. December 22nd, Nick's Place, Monday. We want you there. We want you to throw down. We want you to have a big time. So it's the way to start the holiday season. It's the way to start and end, in some cases, if you're in the eggnog chugging contest. It's a good way to end your holiday.
We've gotten soft, though. And it's not us. It's
no,
the people. Listener. It's like Courtney's trying not to get sued.
Oh, wow.
When we first started doing this, it was a gallon of eggnog,
yeah,
and nobody stood a chance.
No.
But eventually somebody would win, eventually, and then they get diamond earrings. Do you remember some of the high school kids who were in it who tried to come, and then they were slumped against a car after it was? I had so much respect for those young punks.
Well, not only them. I remember one guy just sitting there after just on the ground, sitting there against the wall and just in agony. And I was like, oh, God, what are we doing? What are we doing here? It's that.
Well, hopefully that passed.
It was well worth it for all the, oh!
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, hopefully that.
It's a giant awe because of all the puking that goes on into the, and everybody loves it. Man, that was,
if you do it, I don't want to scare you. If you do it, you're going to be beloved, and you'll be a legend.
Yeah, you will
be. And actually, we have to force you to eat some stuff beforehand because too many people are just getting through the half gallon and like, we're like, this is the worst eggnog chug ever.
Yeah. We need some puking.
Come on, Courtney.
It ain't an eggnog. It ain't beat the warehouse live guy if there's no double bangers, and it ain't an eggnog chugging contest if there ain't no puking.
I got video from last year's. Hey, the weather's going to be 79 degrees that day.
Perfect.
So by the time we're doing the show, it's probably going to be in the upper 60s. So it's not going to be like there's not going to be any weather issues. We'll be able to do stuff outside if we want to. It's not going to be one of these freezing cold or rain situations. It'll be the warmest day in December, actually.
That'll be great. That'll be great. I've got a sweatshirt a listener brought me over to we were at Damaris. Speaking of Damaris, or Nick's place, Damaris Barbecue, we were watching a game over there, and one of our listeners brought me a Coors Light sweatshirt, holiday sweatshirt that I'm going to wear. So I'm looking forward to it. And what a great time we had. If you're watching your game, hey, tonight is steak night at Damaris, so get your ribeye steak. It's the best ribeye in the city. Remember Yanni told us that?
Mm-hmm.
It's the best steak in the city.
I heard it.
And
that's
so,
a big,
and
you know.
No, I had it last week there. It is really, really good. You get a baked potato. It's awesome. And it's a great,
we've got
price.
Some good steak places here. Yanni's doesn't cost you an arm and a leg.
No.
Like these other places.
That ain't a $70 steak.
No.
Actually, it's I don't remember what the exact number, but it's in the mid-20s. So that's just a great – it is. It's a great steak. So get on over there and watch the game tonight. So we got a football game tonight. We got baseball to talk about as well. I mentioned Chandler Rome. He was on MLB Network. Chandler Rome says there's just not enough room for Paredes and Walker because – we saw Espada on MLB Network. We played the clip. I got Correa at first. I got Pena at short. I got Altuve's going to play second for the most part this season. You got Christian Walker and you got Isak Paredes. So are there enough at bats? So here's what Chandler Rome thinks is going to happen.
This has been the question I've been trying to answer since they acquired Carlos Correa at the trade deadline last year. Playing him at third base means Isak Paredes doesn't have a position. And Joe Espada was on this set on Monday and said he wants Jose Altuve to spend most of his time this season at second base.
Right.
So you've got Correa at third, Pena at short, Altuve at second. You've got Christian Walker and Isak Paredes for one position. And with Jordan Alvarez entrenched as the DH, I'm just not sure there's enough at-bats to go around for both Isak Paredes and Christian Walker, which makes me think one of them could be on the move.
Wow.
You know, they've had...
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. I mean, I think they'll try to deal Walker and play Paredes at first, but I don't know who's going to want him.
Yeah, I don't... Well, I mean, Dana
we
told
don't
us that's
seem
not the
to.
Case. I mean, he never said that about Paredes, but...
I know, but... Yeah, well... We'll see. I mean, who would you rather deal?
Oh, I would rather deal Walker. There's no question. But
I'm sure Dana would, too.
Yeah.
So Dana told you one thing, but like I said, let's just see what happens if somebody says, we'll take Walker if you pay this percentage of a salary.
Paredes was one of their best hitters last year.
When he was healthy.
Yes.
But Deadpool hitter.
Yeah. That park, that's great.
In that park, that is great. That's why you want to keep him. That's why you'd rather move Walker. No. You just won't get as much for Walker, I wouldn't think.
There's no way. How about Paredes in left? How about, you know what? If we're going to put Cam Smith in right from third base, why can't we put...
Yeah, I don't...
Why can't we put third base in left, too?
Yeah, no, not everyone in the infield. You can't just MLB the show
He's
this thing and just
athlete.
Throw guys anywhere.
He's a great athlete.
Well, although we do have a history of that as Astros.
Yeah.
Lance Berkman.
Well, we do.
I mean, not Lance Berkman, but...
Lance Berkman,
Well,
too.
Berkman was an outfielder. Yeah. I mean, but...
Craig Biggio.
Biggio, just throwing him out there. Altuve last year, which is the biggest joke. I mean, he didn't totally embarrass himself, but he's clearly not meant for. I mean, he's wee. He doesn't have a big arm, and he can't anything up the wall. He's not going to be able to go get. So, yeah, I mean, Paredes, whatever, in left field. I don't know. I don't even trust that Yordan's healthy all the time. So, I don't really want to give away good hitters. I'd rather give away Christian Walker. I mean, Walker's got some pop, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see. One of those two is probably going to go. But the market for Paredes, I would think. Now, I don't know what your market would be for Paredes. I don't think your market's going to be great for either guy. Like I think you're going to have to really do your homework in terms of who you're picking up from the minors.
Yeah, and oh well, play the other bite, Dell, from Chandler Rome, and this is about Yordan. But listen at the end of Chandler Rome's soundbite. They ask him about the pitching and how they're going to get pitching. And you know, this big-name free agent thing doesn't look like it's going to happen. And Chandler Rome answers that.
The biggest guy for me in this whole thing is Yordan Alvarez. They're a different club when he's not in that lineup because he's one of the best hitters in the game. How's he feeling? What's their plan for him in 2026?
He's a full go for spring training. He'll be ready to go. And Joe Espada made no bones about it. He wants him to spend most of next season at DH.
Wow.
He wants him to DH most of the time because they need to keep him healthy.
Yeah.
They need to keep his bat in the lineup. Since he debuted in 2019, only Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani have a higher slugging percentage than Yordan Alvarez.
Wow.
So that is the kind of thump they missed so badly last year. He appeared in 48 games last season.
Wow.
If he appears in maybe just 60 games, they end up in the playoffs.
Wow.
It was that big of a loss.
Wow.
That's interesting. You're talking about the glut of infielders. So do you envision the Astros making a trade to get some starting pitching back?
I think they could use Isak Paredes in a trade to get some of that young starting pitching back. There are teams that are very interested in Jake Meyers,
their
center fielder off of a breakout season. Ton of teams interested in him. He could help them get pitching back. But a lot of what they do this offseason, most of what they do this offseason, is going to come via trade.
It's going to come via trade. Not a big name signing, more than likely.
Wow.
There are a couple of names that have been out there. Brian McTaggart has put a couple of names out there that they're looking at. They're not big names, but you know what? The Astros, you know, they turn guys into better pitchers, you know, guys who are just going along. I mean, we've seen them turn Gerrit Cole into a superstar, highest paid player in baseball. He wasn't that guy when he got here, but he turned into that guy. You know, I guess that's the way that they're going to go about it. I thought.
What did you think?
Well,
when they say
we're going to sign a big name, then I believe them.
Okay.
Okay?
I didn't.
Maybe you don't believe things
people
say. No,
I just believe what you do. I don't believe what you say. I believe what you do. I've got a background. I've got a history to go through. And so I'm going to believe that this is how you move. So I'm going to assume you're going to move like that in the future. I'm not going to listen to all this stuff. It's irrelevant. I just want to know, what are you likely to do based on your history? You know what's funny is we're not smart people, but everything we said which seemed like common sense is coming true. Why is Jose Altuve in the left field, in left field at all? What are y'all doing to this guy? This year we're going to play him mostly at second base. Why is Yordan even playing anything? Just play him in the out, play him DH so you don't have. Well, Yordan wants to play outfield. I don't care. Yordan gets hurt all the time. Play him a DH this year. They're mostly going to play him a DH. We're not smart people, but this is common sense, and the Astros are finally. It takes them a year to come around to the common sense. I don't understand. Obviously, injury prone Yordan, you don't want him in the field. Obviously, you don't want a 5'2" left fielder ever. This is just common sense stuff, and I don't know why the Astros. I know why they're trying to get as many bats in the lineup as possible, and now you're going to have to end up moving one of the guys who's one of your better hitters in that park. You're going to have to move him for pitching. You know why? Because they won't spend money on the pitching, and this is what you're doing. You're going to subtract from your hitting because you weren't telling the truth about going after a frontliner anyway. If you were, you weren't serious about. You had no chance of landing a frontliner. Because you don't offer enough.
Yeah. So the rotation, according to Brian McTaggart now, is Hunter Brown, Christian Javier, Spencer Arrigetti, Lance McCullers, and others.
And others.
Yeah.
Who are we missing? Is there somebody missing from that?
Not really. Fromber's gone. I mean, yeah. That's.
Wait. No. I guess it's just a mismatch of just of whoever you had. Oh, you keep saying Justin Verlander. What about Verlander? Just throw him in there.
Yeah.
He's only 45.
According to Ken Rosenthal, Mike Burrows of the Pirates, who pitched really well against the Astros, Peyton Toll, ranked by Major League Pipeline as the number 28 overall prospect, Connolly Early of the Red Sox,
okay,
their number 4 prospect. That's they're looking for young, controllable pitching that they can. Now, they did pick up a couple of Rule 5 guys. Ryan Weiss, we get more Frombers, and we got a Rodery now.
Rodery
Munoz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rodery Munoz. We get more great names.
Munoz was a AAA Memphis in the Cardinals system. He was 4-3 with 3 saves and a 3.28 ERA, 21 earned runs and 57 2/3 innings. He had 76 strikeouts in 57 2/3. That's not bad. I mean, they're going to be looking for that. They got some guy named Trey McLaughlin, who was 2-0 with a 3.91 in the Mets minor league system. He pitched primarily at AA. So, you know, it's 2.18 opponents average against, 25 strikeouts in 22 innings. He was originally a 16th round pick. And then the young guy is Sanchez, wait a minute. Yeah, Edwin Sanchez, 21, from the Dominican Summer. Last year he played in the Dominican Summer League, 54 games in a Dodgers affiliate. He only hit .234, 10 doubles, 6 homers, 28 RBIs, .924 OPS. So, you know, it's in Dominican Summer League. But that's fine. I mean, I actually, you know, these are the kind of things that I notice, because every once in a while you find a guy there. So hopefully they find a guy there.
They also still got Colton Gordon, Jason Alexander, A.J. Blueball, and J.P.
Jason Brand. Alexander and Blueball. These guys were going to save the world last year for us. Can't they save the world this year?
They did some nice things last year.
Well, next year, I should say.
They did some nice things.
They did.
Yeah.
We put a lot on their shoulders.
Yeah.
Dell put an entire hero label on Jason Alexander. I mean, that was maybe a little bit much to say they're
going
to.
It was my hero.
Well, he was a hero.
Yeah.
No, he was everyone's hero. We got a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, give them the green light, Lance.
Well, green light offer is your chance for you to get with Sean and his guys. You hear Sean all the time. If you got somebody in your house, we'll get them out of there. You got a house you want to say, well, they can't pay the rent, we'll get them out. And what they're doing is they're telling you, I don't care what the situation is. If you've got a home that you own, we can give you a fair offer, a cash price. We can get it to you. We can close. In some cases, within 7 to 10 days, it's actually kind of the norm. It really depends on the situation. But even if you've got difficult situations, you've got a house in disrepair, you've got tenants that you can't get out of there, no matter what it is, Sean and his people over at Greenlight Offer, they'll do the job and they will get it done. And people who are relocating, who are divorced and need to split up property, people who have a rental property that's maybe you just don't want to deal with it anymore, and you want to sell this thing as quickly as possible and get cash out of it. People who this happens a lot. People who inherit a property from a loved one who passes away and wills it to them. You don't want. What are you going to do with that? You got to put thousands into it to try to sell it, and then go through showings and make sure the lawn is mowed because no one's living there, and make sure the security is okay since no one's living there. You don't want a squatter breaking in and posting up on you, because then Sean's got to come back in and strong arm him out of there. Listen, Greenlight Offer is going to make an offer for you. It's a fair offer. It's a cash offer, and they take care of everything, getting the house ready, doing the showing, all that. None of that is your business or your concern. They'll walk you through the early steps, and then after that, you're done. You're just waiting to collect your money, and it comes pretty quickly as well. GreenlightOffer.com. That's GreenlightOffer.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. Biscuit's been holding. Let's get him in here. So he can. He wants to talk a little Texans football. What do you say, Biscuit?
Hello?
Yeah.
Good.
Yes, sir. Hey, man. I don't mean to take a trip back down memory lane, man, but you guys said that Petrie was the Miko guy. Now, he was drafted when Lovey was here, right? And
Yeah, he would have been.
Him and the corner were drafted in the same draft. Stingley.
Yeah.
And remember, because the reason I know is because I work with his dad, and I called
in. Yeah, 2022. Yeah, that's
Dale,
right.
Dale, do you remember this? I called in. I asked Lance. I said, "Hey, man, what you think about Petrie?" And Lance, you said, "Well, you got a fourth, fifth round pick." Mm. And I was like, "Fourth, fifth round pick." And he was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, you liked the Petrie pick, though.
I liked him. Yeah. I thought at the time when he did you call before? You called before he got drafted?
Before the draft.
Yeah, no. Initially, that's why. And I may have been confusing him with the other guy, Terrell Bernard. But anyway, I thought, because I think I may have been confusing with Bernard, because one of them I thought may have to move to linebacker. I remember talking about him because I remember they had two guys on the same team. I think it was Bernard, I believe, and Petrie, and they were kind of similar overhang type players. And I thought, because I thought Petrie might have to play some linebacker, but I think I may have been confused with Bernard at the time, because Petrie, I didn't like Petrie as much as, like, Daniel Jeremiah loved Petrie. I didn't like Petrie as much, but for what he does, you know, I was too focused on the coverage stuff as opposed to the run stuff. And if you play zone, the man cover stuff doesn't really matter as much.
Well, I think that's what happened with both Lovey and D'Amico found out that if you allow Petrie to float, now if you put him on somebody and say, hey, you got to cover the tight end, you might have an issue. But if you allow him to float, because his strength is his instincts and his intelligence, right? Because he's a smart kid.
Yeah,
you know,
smart
and
tough.
I've known him since he was little. Yeah, smart and tough. The issue for him, and I don't know if you, the comp I would have, Lance, is Bob Sanders, right?
That's
what he kind of reminds me of.
Bob could run now. Bob was a 4.3 40 guy. Could really
Bob
run.
Was right. Also,
but I mean, the physicality and the instincts, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Being small, can he stay healthy playing that style of play, being small as he is? That's the issue. And talking with him and all, you know, his dad or whatever. He learned that, hey, man, look, you can't just run up and fly up and hit Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry. And, you know, you ain't going to be around long.
Yeah,
you know,
you can so tell him that. But when
he got smarter.
He can be as smart as he wants, but his instincts are to punish. And you can't take that away from him. Like, you don't want him – like, you want him playing full tilt. Be smart, but, like, that hit on Rice changed the whole game. And that was important. That was an important hit. So I would hate for him to try to dial back and not play the way he plays. It's just a matter of keeping his head out of the hits.
I don't think he's going to either. No. I think that's the way he plays, and, you know, his body be damned. But it's going to cost, just like Bob Sanders. Bob Sanders is a really nice, I think, comp in that, you know, although Sanders, I think, was a little smaller.
Yeah, but, and he was a pure safety who would fly downhill.
Yeah, Bob Sanders coming back was a big reason why the Colts won that Super Bowl.
Yeah, now he had injury issues, you know, when Biscuit, thanks for the call, Biscuit. When Biscuit talks, like, what he's talking about is Bob was a downhill killer who could really, really run, but he also ended up having
great
injuries.
Instincts too.
He was smaller, he was shorter, but he was compact. Like, he was shorter, but he wasn't small.
No.
And he had great instincts.
He was a big part of that Colts defense that won it all. Is this right? They put Sharon Moore behind the woman at the Coldplay concert.
That's not right. That didn't happen, John.
I don't know. I mean, Sharon.
No, it's not.
I mean,
him.
Already?
That's
already
not,
we're
yes,
doing this?
Yes, already they did this. Oh. This is what they do.
Oh, my gosh.
Those the people. The Twitter does this.
Oh, my gosh. I was just watching a story. A guy was talking about he's in Seattle. Seattle, it's Gay Pride Month when the World Cup is there, so they're having a Gay Pride theme throughout the throughout the stadium and around the stadium and around the whole the Seattle World Cup committee has said this is going to be. And guess who's playing there? Iran and Egypt. Iran and Egypt. Where you can be in prison for being gay. So they're going to be playing these games in a pride-themed arena, stadium.
I'm sure when the players are asked about it, they'll handle it deftly, and there won't be any issues there.
None.
When they're asked about it.
I doubt that. Hopefully they won't be asked
about
it.
They probably will. Some report. Some,
you're putting them in a bad position.
Some non-soccer reporter will probably ask them about it, considering where they're coming
from.
What
are your thoughts? Would you like to tattle on yourself and get in trouble with your country?
Well, not with. Well, they probably know what answer doesn't get them in trouble with their country. Whether it gets them in trouble with their club if they play outside the country, might
be
different.
I'm just trying to play soccer.
Well, that's the
goal. I'm trying to play football.
Somebody may not just say that.
Yeah, they may say something else.
That's the problem. Yeah. Also, either one of them is a problem.
Well,
that's why you don't answer.
We got more immediate issues to discuss, or not. The Aggies are losing their defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Bateman is taking the Kentucky job. So both their coordinators have one foot in and one foot out. Colin Klein.
Well, that's what happens when you're successful.
But they got big banked by Kentucky?
One feels like maybe more of a
mutual
Elko
parting?
That may feel like an Elko parting, where he wants to either it's mutual or he wants to get away from Elko. Elko's also an offensive guy, so he's going to have his own opinion on stuff too. So sometimes it's not always easy. Like Jimbo didn't like working for Les Miles. Was it Les Miles? Yeah,
no,
Jimbo.
Jimbo worked for Nick.
He worked for Nick, but didn't Nick leave and then he worked for Jimbo for Les?
I don't know. He was coaching waiting at Florida State before Bobby Bowden retired.
Yeah, not everyone likes working. Not everyone likes working for Nick either. I mean, that happens a lot. Yeah. Sometimes you just don't have a personality that coincides, and especially if you're a coordinator, you just, you know, it runs afoul. Like head coaches and coordinators clash a lot.
We were talking about this yesterday, Sean and I. We, at this point, 7 out of the 12 teams have either a coordinator or head coach who's got another job.
Wow, 7 of 12 already. And it's the timing of it all. But it has to be done. I don't think there's a cure.
Is he going to coach in the game?
I would think so.
Yes, all these coaches are coaching in the game.
But he will take the Kentucky job whenever the Aggies run.
Yeah, there's financial considerations, too, for these coaches. So, you know, and by the way, Ole Miss, most of the Ole Miss offensive staff has gone back, that went with Lane Kiffin, has gone back to Ole Miss. And I think one of the reasons is because it's the right thing to do, one, as long as Ole Miss will have them, and they have to have them. And then number two, it's money. Like, Lane's getting paid. He got it in his contract that he gets paid based on what Ole Miss does in the playoffs, even though he's not tied to them. These other coaches probably didn't have that in their contract necessarily. They don't have the same leverage. It's right for the team. It's right for the players. I'm sure Lane's going to steal some of those players in the portal. So, you know, that might also.
I like the idea.
Like Kewon Lacy, I'll bet you $1 million he's a Tiger next year.
I like Joey McGuire's idea. You can't have a player from the team you're leaving. That would be a good rule for them to put in.
Oh, I would love that.
When a coach leaves. We got a break. We're up against it. 713-780-3776. The Texans Chargers has been flexed. We will tell you about it on the other side. But first, we're going to talk a little underdog.
Underdog fantasy. Hey, listen. What we're doing today is football. We're going to take a look at the passing yards. We're going to take a look at rushing yards, receiving yards, because we're going to play the Pick'em contest. And with Underdog Fantasy, it's never been easier to take a look at the stats, get an idea of what you want to do for the game tonight. And Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and I'm looking right now. You can do team picks. You can do team picks. That's available on there on Underdog Fantasy, but also the player picks where you just go higher or lower. Bijan Robinson, 75.5 rushing yards. Baker Mayfield, 219.5 passing yards against Atlanta. Atlanta's got a pretty good defense, but I'm here to tell you right now, I like higher on Baker Mayfield's passing yards. I really do. And his completions, 19.5. I like higher on those completions. You go through the game, you decide how it's going to go. Maybe go, you know, do your research. If you want to do some research, it certainly helps. some of the matchups, who's hot, who's not. And then from there, you simply go higher or lower. You string picks together. You want two players. You can do as few as two and get paid 3-1. You can do three. You can do six, seven. You can win, you know, hundreds of dollars, hundreds of times. It's a hundred, you know, like sometimes $600-$700 of $600 or $700. What's my thumbs down for? $600 or $700 times your payout is available for you at Underdog Fantasy. All you have to do is download the promo, download the app, use promo code Lance, and you have a chance to win big money. But you have to use promo code Lance on your first deposit, and you can unlock $75 of bonus entries after your first $5 play. It's Underdog Fantasy.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_DFS_HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit ncpgambling.com.
ESPN. 97.5.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.